it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, Caroline Fenton, and for Chase McCabe today, Hal Gill will join us in 30 minutes, previewing Predators at Blackhawks tonight. Now, before we get into what I think is the best path to victory for the Titans on Saturday against the Texans, whether Ryan Tannehill plays or not, first I want to go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Justin is up next. What's up, Justin?
Yes.
Go ahead.
How's it going, Caroline? I'm just curious, why would it be so bad if Josh Dobbs was to start over Malik? I mean, we've seen Malik play. We know he's not probably a starter yet and probably won't be for maybe a couple of years. I don't know. We saw Josh play at UT. We know he's a good QB there.
Justin, are you a Vols fan by any chance?
I mean, I'm an on and off Vols fan. I like Vols. I like Vandy. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where I follow either one. I don't know.
All right. Thank you for your call, Justin. I understand your point. Thank you for your call, Justin. Josh Dobbs has 45 career yards since he's been in the league since 2018. I have nothing against Josh Dobbs as a person. He was a great quarterback at Tennessee. I hear you. You know who else was a really great quarterback in college? Was Matt Leinart. Yeah. What did Matt Leinart do in the league? You know how many great college quarterbacks there are out there that are absolute crap in the NFL? I'm not saying that that's Josh Dobbs, but I'm saying, why do I owe Josh Dobbs anything?
I think sometimes people, want to see, the fresh face, is sometimes the best thing.
Is Malik Willis not the fresh face anymore?
Well, people know.
Is
not
he
anymore.
Not the flavor of the week?
No, he's not the flavor of the week anymore. You know how this thing is. It's sort of like middle school dating. You date for a week and then some other guy or girl comes along.
Exactly.
So it's just a constant rotation. you're not the flavor of the week
anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
On to the next one.
So Malik is not exciting anymore. And there are some people now that Joshua Dobbs has been signed. They feel, Joshua has the experience. He's been in the NFL, 3-4 years now?
But he has the years.
But not necessarily the playing experience that he would need. But
I don't believe Josh Dobbs has taken a snap since 2020. And I could be completely wrong.
I don't know if he has either, because obviously, once he left Pittsburgh, I didn't know where he went
was
after
he in
that.
Cleveland for a little? Jacksonville maybe for a little?
I couldn't even tell you, Caroline.
I don't want to talk about Josh Dobbs anymore.
But I think the best course of action, or the only course of action for the Tennessee Titans, if Ryan Tannehill can't play, then naming Malik the starter moving forward. Malik did look okay when he had to come in for Ryan last game. He looked like he was okay in that situation. So if Ryan can't play, I'm sure they're hoping that it will be like the last time they played the Texans in regards to winning. But then if they do need to throw the football, he will look more poised this go-around than he did the last go-around.
And how did the Titans beat the Texans the last time Malik Willis
running the football.
Running the football with Derrick Henry. And that's exactly what I want to get into. Is if Ryan Tannehill can't go on Saturday against the Texans, which seems like probably more likely than not at this point. Didn't practice yesterday. The Titans bring in Josh Dobbs. All signs point toward Ryan Tannehill likely will not play. So all roads to victory against the Houston Texans, which I've said, this is so important. A win against the Texans is so important for all of the off-the-field reasons, for all of the intangibles, the morale, and the hope for this team, which I think this team needs desperately. It all runs through Derrick Henry. But I think my question over the last few weeks is, why hasn't Derrick Henry been getting the football? I mean, Derrick Henry's on the sidelines on 3rd and 2. On an obvious passing down, when all you have to do is just don't take a sack, and then Derrick Henry's on the sidelines. And then you also look against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, Derrick Henry had almost 100 yards in the first quarter and then barely even touched the football in the second half. I mean, Keith Bullock, you know, a legendary Titan, even mentioned, what in the world is Todd Downing and this Titans team doing, not giving the ball to Derrick Henry?
Go to your bread and butter. Derrick Henry rolls, Titans roll. Tannehill's hobbled. He's hurt. Why are we not giving the ball to Derrick Henry? The Chargers never stopped Derrick Henry in the running game. I just feel that he should have been involved more, especially in those first and second down. Get it to him back to back. Sometimes you don't want to be predictable, but in crunch time, you got to give it to your bread and butter.
And that's exactly how I feel. That's how I felt against the Chargers. That's how I felt about in the second half of the game against the Jags. And I understand he wasn't able to get things moving against the Bengals because the Bengals are just a good team like that, and they were able to stop the run. But that's your bread and butter. That's your bread and butter week in and week out. And that has to be your bread and butter against the Houston Texans going into this week as well.
Yeah, it's going to have to be. And this is why, man, like, Caroline, being an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator in this league is – It sometimes is one of those jobs where people don't speak enough about you, and when they do, a lot of times it's in a negative light. Like if you're doing your job consistently the right way, no one's saying, you know, Downing is, you know, he needs to be mentioned as a head coach, or, you know, they need to make sure they keep him. Because even with Arthur Smith, we didn't say that about Arthur Smith until Arthur Smith was getting ready to take a head coaching job. And then it was like, man, Arthur Smith is great. They need to find a way to keep him or get somebody else like Arthur Smith. Well, a lot of times it's almost like a thankless job. You do your job. You don't do it for notoriety, but you do it so you can position yourself. If a head coach is what you want to be, you do your job to try to position your team for one, and then hopefully after some years, position yourself to get that head coaching job. But if you're doing your job and you're doing it at a consistent level, people are not talking about you. It's the minute that you're consistently bad, like Downing is. You're right. Consistently bad. Then everybody starts to talk about, rightfully so.
Right.
You know, rightfully so.
All the criticism of Todd Downing is totally fair.
Rightfully so. But it's hard. It is extremely hard. Even though I do believe they need to make a change at the end of the season with the offensive coordinator, it's extremely hard being a coordinator in this league, whether it be offense or defense. I think sometimes it's harder to be a coordinator than it is a head coach, because if you do it right, a head coach, you're delegating, you're hiring good people, and it's up to those good people, those good coaches, to keep everything at a level where things are rolling, you know. If that coordinator is not doing his job, then more than likely he's going to get fired, or people are going to start whispering about the coordinator, whether it be offense or defense. But it's hard being a coordinator because you try to find a way to make sure everybody in a sense is happy. Meaning I'm not talking about everybody, I'm saying your playmakers. You try to make sure your playmakers are happy, that you're getting in the ball, that they feel as if they're in the floor of the game. That's one problem. And then, you know, that's one challenge. And then another challenge is I got to call a game. I may not be able to give it to my playmakers as much as I want to. I got to call a game in such a way that either holds on to a lead, extends a lead, or come back from a lead. And that's hard because sometimes I may not be able to give it to my playmakers. Sometimes Derrick Henry has to be off the field in order for me to do this. Now, third and two, it's a different story, you know?
And that's the thing, is sometimes I feel like Todd Downing makes his job. I don't doubt it's an incredibly difficult job, absolutely.
Well, that's why they get paid a lot of money.
Exactly. But there are some times that I think that Todd Downing just makes his job more difficult than it needs to be. For example, it's third and two, and you call a pass play?
Yeah.
And Derrick Henry's off the field? And Derrick Henry is off the field, even on a very clear passing down. Derrick Henry's off the field. Okay, well, then you don't have to stack the box, and the safety can drop back into coverage and then take care of all of your receivers because there's no threat of a run. Mm-hmm. Like certain things there that seem pretty obvious. You have the best running back in the league and it's 3rd and 2. All Derrick Henry needs to do is literally just fall down at the line of scrimmage and boom, 1st down. Mm-hmm. But he's off the field.
Yeah, you're right. But I can – let me just play devil's advocate for a second here.
Yeah.
You're right. Derrick Henry's off the field and, you know, maybe he should be on the field. But – 3rd and 2, he's off the field. Now teams are saying, oh, Derrick Henry's off the field. Now we don't have to stack the line of scrimmage. Now we can do it. Well,
I can still,
if I'm the coordinator and I have Haskins in the backfield or, say, Dontrell Hilliard in the backfield, I still believe that those guys can get me 2 yards. Even more so now because the defense doesn't think that I'm going to hand the football off, or they're playing a little bit lax because Derrick Henry's not in the game anymore. So as a coordinator, it's this chess match. Okay, you want to back up because you think I'm passing, or you want to get a little lax on the line of scrimmage because Derrick Henry's not in the game. Well, Dontrell Hilliard can get to the outside of run between the tackles.
Yeah.
Hassan Haskins is a powerful runner. He can get us 2 yards too. So it's this chess game, this cat and mouse game that you play with the defensive coordinator. I'm not always going to get upset. That now, if it was a situation like Seattle back in the day with Marshawn Lynch, then yeah, you need to be on the field.
Right.
You need to be on the field, no doubt. But in this situation, I can sort of see what he's thinking as a coordinator. It's, okay, if I don't have Derrick Henry on the field, then the defense will get a little lax. The line will adjust. And if I want to run the ball, now I'm capable of running the ball. The hole might be a little bit bigger now. As opposed to putting Derrick Henry out there, they stack the line of scrimmage. My guys haven't been proven they can get off the line of scrimmage or catch passes. So it's going to be hard for Derrick Henry to get that 2 yards.
And I hear you.
It's both ways. But when in doubt, what? Put Derrick Henry
put
in the game.
Derrick Henry
in. Let's roll.
And I hear you. It is a game of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
And I would hear you, you know, you take Derrick Henry off. You kind of, you know, disguise what you want to do. You make it look like you're passing. And then you run the ball with Son Haskins up the middle and you convert on 3rd down. Great. But that's not what they did. If that is what they did, then I would see, okay, like I see what you're doing here. 3rd and 2, they're expecting
like,
Derrick Henry.
You got to help me
but
help you.
They didn't do that. Like, I get it. They didn't do it, though. The things that, like, the moves that just feel so obvious. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before with Todd Downing. My frustration with Todd Downing is I feel like he goes into every game with a checklist. Trick play and, wildcat formation and doing things with Malik Willis and all of these funky things that might seem a little bit outside of the box. And he feels like he has to check all of those boxes. Like, wait, but we haven't run it with Derrick Henry out of the wildcat yet. Let's just go ahead and do that. Even if it doesn't necessarily make sense within the context of the game, it just feels like there are certain things thrown in there that I'm like, what? This doesn't make any sense.
It's almost like they predetermined the play already.
Yes.
So
like
they're going to go
with
it. There's
not a feel for the game, and they're just throwing things out there just to throw them out there because they haven't done it yet. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls, back into your texts on this. But we mentioned the morale in the Titans locker room. How we fear that that could continue over the next couple of weeks and be possibly detrimental to this football team. But there's another team in the league that doesn't feel that way, and they're in a much different situation than the Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Chase Willie D-Base is presented by Hair Club. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women.
David asked you about the short week. What is the challenge when you do have a short week and you come off a West Coast trip and, you know, Tuesday should be a day off for you, instead you're on the practice field? What do you have to do, I guess, mentally, physically, as a team to get ready to play?
Just prepare. I mean, we played on Thursday. We just play on Saturday, one day closer. So I don't think nothing changes as far as what we do or how we prepare. I just think you just got to be locked in and focused.
That was Derrick Henry at the podium yesterday. What do you got to do going into this week? Prepare. Okay, Derrick. I got you loud and clear. And there have been so many things that we've heard from the leaders of this team, Kevin Byard, Derrick Henry, Mike Vrabel at his press conference on Monday. And this team seems very obviously defeated, in my opinion. They just don't seem like the characteristic motivational guys that can say, let's go out there, you know, we're going to turn things around, come on, go team, go, we got to work harder, so on and so forth. That's what we are normally, you know, used to hearing from Derrick Henry and Kevin Byard. Mm-hmm. And I understand their frustrations. I get it. They're on a 4-game losing streak. General manager just got fired. The path to the future looks a little bit, you know, foggy at this point. And I understand their frustration, and I understand that the morale might not be very high. But going into this game against the Texans this weekend, I think there's something very interesting about the Texans, and honestly, maybe a little dangerous. I know that the Texans stink. I get it. They've won one game this year. They are 1-12-1. They're the worst team in the league. But what I think is interesting, in contrast to the Titans, is even though the Texans have lost a lot of games in a row.
Yeah. How many has it been? Like 12?
It's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games in a row. They beat the Jags in week 5, I believe, and then they tied the Colts in the first week of the season. So it's tie, loss, 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 win, and then they've lost every single game since then.
Jags are probably kicking themselves in the rear end, too.
Like, how do we lose to that freaking team? But I think the interesting thing about the Texans is, this team has not lost any fight. Mm-hmm. And I don't watch the Texans in minute detail every single week, but I watch them play the Chiefs. That game came down to the wire. They played the Chiefs close all game long. Even played the Cowboys close. They were up on the Cowboys a majority of that game. So even though this team's lost, I mean they are probably going to be picking first in the draft. They don't have anything to play for at this point in the season. They have no hopes for the postseason. They still are fighting week in and week out. And I'm not saying the Titans aren't fighting. They played a really tough game against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They played a tough game against the Bengals. But I think that can be the dangerous thing about this Texans team, is we hear these Titans players sound so defeated. Understandably so. So frustrated, understandably so. That I worry that it might hurt the team. And I look at this Texans team that has not given up at all this season. I know this team still stinks. I know the Titans should absolutely still handle the Texans easily. Maybe not easily, but still handle the Texans. But I think that there's that motivation is one hell of a drug. That playing for something and the fight is one hell of a drug. And while I'm not worried about the Texans, I think that's an interesting contrast that I see between the cultures of these two teams, where it stands in the season.
Yeah, I think... listen, make no mistake, the Houston Texans are playing for Bryce Young. That's who they want. Mm-hmm. They want that number one pick. But this team, as it is constructed, the Houston Texans, they're going to go out there and they're going to fight each game. They may not have the personnel to ultimately win these games, but they're going to go out and they're going to continue to fight and continue to do the things that they need to do to try to win a ball game. They're playing for Lovie Smith. They're playing for, you know, their contracts, in a sense. And you got some veteran guys on this team. This is not a team that with a bunch of, you know, young guys that is looking at this season thinking, let's just get it over with. Let's get to the next season. Regroup, retool. And get that quarterback. No, you got veteran guys on this team that want to go out on a winning note, regardless of how it happens. They're going to continue to play.
And I don't think they care about the record.
No,
this is our job.
They want to go out. Yeah, they want to go out and they want to compete, and especially when you play a division team. Mm-hmm. That gives you that extra oomph, because it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like playing your brother or, say, your cousin or something, someone that you have that relationship with, that you see a lot. You take it a little bit different when you're playing against them. Like, you want to go at them no matter what. You may not be tall enough, or you may not be strong enough or fast enough, but you're going to give it your best, because you get bragging rights. If you win, you get to brag. If you lose, then you got to listen to them brag all vacation, all holiday, and you got to listen to it. Well, that's how the Titans and the Texans are. It's like two siblings or cousins, and each time that we battle, it's not necessarily, you know, because of the record. It's because of that bragging right. It's because I don't want you to go and brag about how you beat me, you know, or how you've been dominating me, or how Derrick Henry has rushed over 150 yards each time against us. We want to come in and we want to shut all that down. So at least in the midst of a horrible season, we can say we beat the Tennessee Titans. We beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, we tied and should have won against, you know, the Indianapolis Colts, which is a dumpster fire. So it's all about bragging rights when it comes to the division. And these are tough games, no matter if you are a good team or not. Division games are always tough games.
Mm-hmm. And I'll bring it to, you know, something that I experienced, unfortunately, a few weeks ago, bringing it back to college. Texas A&M had won four games going into the final week of the season. They had zero hopes at a bowl. Mm-hmm. They were contemplating firing their coach and paying him his $88 million buyout. They beat LSU in the last game of the season, and they stormed the field and acted mm-hmm. like they just won their national championship. Because it didn't matter that they weren't going to make the postseason. Mm-hmm. They beat that one team that consistently has beaten them. Or they beat that team that they have a rivalry with. And mm-hmm. it means something. So although, no, this Texans game, I don't think, is ultimately going to decide the postseason for the Tennessee Titans. Yes, I do think the Tennessee Titans are a significantly leaps and bounds better team than the Houston Texans. And I think everybody listening knows that and understands that. But all I'm saying is this Texans team has not given up, even though they ain't got nothing to play for. The Predators on the road. In Chicago. Hal Gill will join us coming up next, previewing the Predators at the Blackhawks. We'll get into that coming up next. Chase Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063, the game. And hey, play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams that you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today, 1025, 1063, The Game.
I'm good. I'm back in Nashville. Moved back right after I was echoing by the Islanders and just flipped houses. The taxes in New York can kill you. Tennessee's great for that. So
no doubt.
But it's my home. Let's call it what it is. And so it was very nice to get back to Nashville. I haven't spent a lot of time here yet just because of family things. And I spent more time in Winnipeg and in Manitoba, I think, this summer than I ever have. So I'm back in Nashville just trying to get my own life in order and get moved in myself.
There you go. That was Barry Trotz on the Preds official podcast. Hal Gill joins us now, brought to you by Coleman Tractor and Equipment and Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. Hal, do you think that it's any kind of coincidence that Barry Trotz is telling all the Predators fans out there, hey, 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 by the way, I moved back to Nashville if anybody is interested in bringing me in next year?
I don't know about that. I think he likes Nashville and he wanted to move back to Nashville. And so I don't think we should read too much into that. But I know everyone will.
That is true. And we already have. Hal Gill joins us now. Hal, I mean, Predators accomplished what I thought was almost like the seemingly impossible, because I thought the Edmonton Oilers just had the Predators' number. Preds beat them in overtime on Monday night. And I understand that's getting in the right direction. You're in the win column, but still 1-6 in the last seven. What do the Predators need to do moving forward to stay in that win column, to keep stringing wins together?
Score goals. You know, that's the bottom line. I think they defended well. You look at what the Preds have done and how they defended with four defensemen out of the lineup. That's not easy to do. I think they defended well. They played well. They've gotten great goaltending. They just need to score goals. The power play scored a goal. It's not a coincidence that when the power play scores, the Preds are going to find ways to win. And that puts them over the top. So they need to find a way to get production from their big lines. They got production from the defense with Ekholm, Gross, and Carrier scoring. That helps. But they need to find ways to score goals consistently. And then this team is, you know, they've been in tight games. It just, you get a couple more goals here and there, and you get the power play humming, and I think you're going to see wins follow.
Now, Hal, looking at this team and what they were able to do against Edmonton, what do you think was the difference? Is it just that them, you know, when they got the opportunity, especially in a power play, that they took advantage of it? Because the last game, they had the same opportunities but were not able to take advantage of those. And then they were able to, I think this game, it was more of a concentrated effort to take the two big guys out of the game and then not let a third guy beat you as they did the first game.
Yeah, you're spot on. I think, you know, the power play helps. Getting that goal is huge on the power play. And then they were fast. They played a fast game. There's a lot of quick counters. They used the stretch pass to push the D back. John Hines talks about playing fast all the time, but they did that. They competed, and they played hard, and they moved their feet. They moved the puck quickly. And then shutting down those guys, you can only hope to contain them, and they did a good job of that. And, you know, if you look back, there's a lot of plays where the D had their gap, and they were taking away time and space, but they also had forwards coming back hard and pushing back against McDavid and Draisaitl, and made for a tough night for those guys. So you keep those guys off the scoreboard and don't allow them to score goals against you. They're going to get their looks. They're going to get their chances. But if you can keep those guys off like they did, you're going to have a better chance to win. And you put it all together, and, yeah, it's an overtime win, but it's a win nonetheless. They need to keep competing that same way.
Now, we had David on a few days ago, and you know, he mentioned a few players that needs to step their game up, you know, more importantly. Guys like Philip Forsberg, whether it be Nino Niederreiter, who hasn't, he started off hot but seemed to have sort of tapered off a little bit. Do you think that's a good thing to do in for the GM to criticize those top players, but then those top players then coming out and playing well?
I don't think the GM needs to openly criticize them for them to know that they've underperformed.
Exactly.
You know it, right? You know when you're not performing. You know when you're not – if you're not scoring touchdowns, you don't need someone to tell you that. If you're not scoring goals, you don't need someone to tell you. They know. They just – it's the hard part is, like, everyone has slumps, right? Everyone has off games. But it's been throughout the team, and that's been the struggle. You need someone to pitch in, and hopefully you get one line going on one night and maybe another line going on another night and then maybe two lines going at the same night, and that's when you get the easier wins. But it's been a consistent drought throughout the team. So once these guys get going, there's a lot of pressure, and I feel like they went out against Edmonton and played fast and didn't think too much. Sometimes you overthink it. You have a little bit too much pressure on yourself. Sometimes you just got to go play, and they did that.
Now, John also, he did some line changes the past game, and it seemed to have worked. And hopefully, you know, those same line changes works tonight versus the Blackhawks. What did you see from those lines that were changed last game that you enjoyed seeing and that you like and that you think will work moving forward?
Yeah, you know what? I liked a lot of things about how they went out there. Hines, I think, has a good pulse of, like, giving people their roles, you know? For example, the Smith, Parson, and Sissons line, they had a role. They had to go and play big minutes against McDavid and Draisaitl. And when you have a role and you go out there and you say, hey, we need you guys to play shutdown defensive role against the best players, they go out there, they know what they're doing when they get over the boards. I thought Cody Glass had a great game playing with Niederreiter and Janot. So there's a young guy that's stepping up and playing well. Tommy Novak came in, played with Granlund and Forsberg. I thought he looked really good. But that's more of an offensive role. You're telling those guys, hey, we'll play against the fourth and third lines, and we want you to be offensive. And so I think Hines has done a good job of mixing up the lines in the last game to let everyone know what their role is and how they should go and play.
Hal Gill is with us. Hal, the way that I view this game tonight, Go on the road. You beat the Blackhawks. Good. You beat a bad team. That's what you were supposed to do. You got two wins in a row. You got a little bit of momentum moving forward. But, I mean, the Blackhawks really, truly are awful. The past month and a half, they've won two games. So let's say the Predators don't go on the road and get a win tonight. What does that say about the Preds in this hockey club, losing to a truly awful Blackhawks team?
Don't start being like Jared. I don't want to hear that.
It's a fair question. If the Preds lose to a bad team, what does that say about the Preds?
What if they lose every game for the rest of the season?
I'm not talking about every game.
What if?
I'm talking about this game.
All right. I'm talking about this game, and I'm looking at it. Going into it, what are your thought process? You're playing a bad team. You're right. They've been awful this year. They do have weapons. They still have Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves, Seth Jones. They have good players. They're going through a rebuild. Normally, you'd say this is a trap game because if a team came in here and was winning and feeling good, maybe they take this game lightly. But I don't think the Preds are in that position. They know they need to start putting points up and getting in the standings and get back into this thing. So this is an important game, and they know that they need to bring that intensity. They can't mess around. And so I think this game is a good test, and hopefully they can get their offense going against this team. That's really, they give up a lot of goals. They don't score much. You said it, that's a bad team, but this is a good chance for them to go out and build off the confidence that they got against Edmonton.
Hal Gill is with us. Last one for you, Hal. McDonough back in the lineup tonight. What can we expect from Ryan McDonough?
But I it's nice to have him back, first of all. He's played so well with Roman Josi. That's one of the best D pairs. Playing together, they haven't given up a goal. I think they've got seven goals, and they haven't given up a goal playing together, and that settles it down. I think you move Ekholm with Carrier, and that's four defense pairing that you look at and you say, okay, these guys can play, and then it takes the pressure off Lauzon and Favreau. They can go and play their game. So just bringing one guy up, obviously he's going to kill penalties. He's going to do everything that he does so well. He moves the puck quickly, and he's an easy breakout. And so I think that's huge for the Preds now, is making sure that they're getting out of the zone clean. So I know they're excited to have him back, and it just shakes everything out the way that this lineup should look like.
Hal Gill, we appreciate you joining us. Chat with you next week.
I hope I didn't offend you by saying you've been hanging around with Jared.
Oh, no, Hal. No, don't.
I think she's used to it by now.
Don't you walk it back now. You put it out there.
I think she's used to it.
That's all. Just be careful.
All right, safe travels
Merry
back,
Christmas,
Hal.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Yep,
Merry
same
Christmas.
To you,
Hal. Hal Gill joining the show. Now, coming up next, the Predators get a win on Monday against an Edmonton team. Now what? We'll get into that coming up next. Plus your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Chase, Willie, D-Mace. And, hey, you can tune in for the NFL pregame this Saturday live from Sunny's Patio and Pub Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. 1025-1063 The Game.
What can a win like this do for your locker room? I mean, moving forward, I mean, this kind of a win against that kind of a team, what does it do for your guys?
Well, I think it's really important. You know, I probably can't emphasize enough just that when you came in, you know, it's one thing when you're going through a tough stretch, right? And then you win a game, but you don't necessarily feel good about the game. I think the most important thing is, one, that we found a way to win the game. Two, it was a team that we struggled with, and I think the style of game that we need to play was there tonight, and we got rewarded for it. And I think that's one where your confidence really grows. You know, it's not like it's a one-off. If we can continue to play that style of game, that's going to give us the best chance, I think, to get up and running here a little bit more regularly.
There you go. That was John Hines following the Predators' overtime win over the Edmonton Oilers on Monday night at Bridgestone Arena. And, hey, let me tell you this. I truly thought that the Oilers had the Predators' number. I even put a bet on Connor McDavid. Over 1.5 points on Monday night. Lost some money, but I was hedging my happiness a little bit there because the Predators finally kind of knocked off the bugaboo off their back, beat the Edmonton Oilers on Monday night. And let me say this. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It builds momentum. You get in the win column. The Predators run a 6-game losing streak. You win one. Good. You're headed in the right direction. But I don't want to act like that is somehow the healing to all of the Predators' problems. And I'll talk about the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. They beat the Texans on Saturday. Good. That doesn't mean that my concerns for this team just go away. That doesn't mean that I do feel like there are some pretty big issues going on behind the scenes with the Tennessee Titans. But you're going to win. You're in the win column. You break the losing streak. Good. You did your job. Move forward. And that's kind of how I feel about the Predators, is that I don't want one win against a really good team, against, you know, two players that have just absolutely torn the Predators apart mm-hmm. over the past few years, and Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. I don't want that to camouflage the fact that this is still a team that might have some issues, that this is still a team that's on the outside looking in on the playoffs. You get a win. Good. String the wins together. Not everything has healed. Not everything is good. Not everything is okay. You're still 1-6 in your last seven. String the wins together. Continue to, you know, really rough it out in some tough games. And then we can start to have a conversation. But I don't want to act like one game and one win all of a sudden just fixes everything, because it doesn't.
No, it was not going to fix everything. Especially if, you know, they come back and they drop a game, say, tonight. Then that,
which would just
that, yeah,
be
that lends to the inconsistency of the team, and then that takes it back to, you know, people will automatically go back to the head coach. Well, why isn't the head coach getting this team, you know, consistently ready to play? So, you know, they need this game just as bad as any other game that they need it, but maybe even more, honestly, because of where they're at. It's sort of like the Titans. I said the Titans needed to win that last game, not necessarily because of the division. I thought they needed to win that game because of morale, to make sure this team doesn't, you know, take that left instead of right, or take that right instead of going forward. And the Preds, I think, are in the same situation. It's not going to break their season, but I think from a mental standpoint, it does help them moving forward if they can consistently string together victories after beating Edmonton and then going to Chicago and beating Chicago and then getting on this roll at, you know, beating teams that you know, may be ahead of them at this point in the playoff race. So they're going to have to put together a string of victories here to at least get back that confidence that they once had, because if they win against Edmonton, drop tonight, or win tonight and they end up losing two more, I mean, it does nothing for the team moving forward.
And Derek, you bring up the coach, and I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you lose a consecutive string of games, you win one, you might win two, and then you continue to lose games. That's when people start looking at the coach. Like, okay, what are you going to do to turn this team around? Because mm-hmm. it's a team that's still built with a lot of its core, with a lot of its players that contributed offensively. Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, you got Roman Josi. I mean, you've got your core players who were able to contribute a lot last year that aren't doing much this year. So that's when I turn to the coach and say, what can you do about it? This is your team. These are your players. You're supposed to get the most out of them. So you bring up the coach, and I think that's a fair point. And Hal didn't want to entertain this idea, but I think it'd be interesting to break down. Barry Trotz, first ever coach of the Nashville Predators, mm-hmm. was on the Predators official podcast earlier this week about his new home.
I'm good. I'm back in Nashville. Moved back right after I was by the Islanders, and just flipped houses. The taxes in New York can kill you. Tennessee's great for that. So
no doubt.
But it's my home. Let's call it what it is. And so it was very nice to get back to Nashville. I haven't spent a lot of time here yet, just because of family things. And I spent more time in Winnipeg and in Manitoba, I think, this summer than I ever have. So I'm back in Nashville just trying to get my own life in order and get moved in myself.
So that's Barry Trotz saying, hey, mm-hmm. I'm back in Nashville. This is my home. I mean, everybody loves living in Nashville. Barry Trotz isn't alone in moving to Nashville.
Yeah, it's getting more expensive, people.
driving my rent up. But I don't think that it would be outrageous to think that Barry Trotz is looking at it and saying, hey, Predators are struggling. The coach's seat is getting a little warm, warmer and warmer by the day if things don't turn around. David Poile said, hey, we want to win a cup. We want to compete for the cup year in and year out. Right now, where it stands, the Predators are not competing for a Stanley Cup. I don't think it would be crazy to say that Barry Trotz could potentially be campaigning for himself, saying, hey, I'm in Nashville. I love Nashville. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that could be the case. I wonder how many years he still have left on his deal from the Islanders. Obviously, they let him go. And
he's still getting paid
exactly,
$4 million this year.
Exactly. So,
and he said he doesn't want to come back to coaching this year, which he's getting paid by the Islanders.
Exactly. So why would he?
He
can just sit back, watch hockey, enjoy his family while he's still getting paid. As far as the coaching thing, it's delicate because, you know, you don't want to make it seem as if, and I know Barry doesn't want this, as if he's hovering over, just waiting like a buzzer, just waiting for, he can see, you know, hey, some things starting to go on down there. I see that you know, boar or whatnot walking slowly. You know, he may be collapsing pretty soon here, and I'm going to, bam, jump mm-hmm. right on it and
I'm
get
right
my
here.
Exactly.
If you need to pick up the pieces.
Exactly.
You
so,
need to win some fans over. Fans love Barry Trotz.
They love Barry. But I just don't think it, you know, and I could be completely wrong with this. I think it would be dirty. I just think it would be mad. I don't think that would be a good organizational move for them to. Now, if he wants to help in some other capacity, then fine. But if you didn't have plans on, you know, firing John at any point during the season,
which I don't know if they
will. And I don't know if they will. I don't know if they won't. But to me, it just seems it doesn't. I've always said, like, in business, I want to make sure I do people right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because there are some people that just don't give a damn. You know, they will walk over you on their way up to the top and they just don't give a damn. You know,
mm-hmm.
and there are some people that are like, no, that's not the route I'm taking. You know, I'm not going to do that. I look at Barry as one of those guys that I'm not going to do that. That's not how I operate business. And I don't think David operates business that way either. I don't think even if they fire John at the end of the season, which I'm not advocating for them to do it or not. It's not my team. You know, if you want to stick with it, stick with it. If you don't, then you don't. You move forward, and your team better be better next year. It needs to be much better than it was this year, considering where they're at now. But I just don't think David is the type of guy that would let, you know, Barry hover, and then hire him right after the season's done because
he's
displeased.
I don't think it's anything David is doing.
I don't think it's anything David is doing.
I think it's just, it could be, and I might just be looking too far into it.
It just seems to me,
Barry
this is to me.
Barry Trotz is doing it on his own accord.
Yeah, this is just me. And everybody else, fans, they may be like, man, the heck with that. We want Barry back, and he can hover all he want to. But to me, it just seems like not the best business practice to have a guy hovering over the guy that's running the team now. And then, you know, say if you do get in the playoffs, but then you get put out in the first round again because you run into the Avalanche again or one of these other great teams. And then all of a sudden, boom, we hiring Barry Trotz as the head coach. I mean, you don't owe John anything, but John would be looking like, damn, like he's been hovering and y'all know he's been hovering. Not that he's been doing it on purpose, but he's been here. So have y'all had this in y'all mind the whole time that, you know, that y'all were going to fire me regardless of what to hire Barry? It just sends like what Amy did with John. It just was bad for the organization. It just was looked bad. It felt bad. It just wasn't good. But it's her team. She can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think with David, it would be the same thing. Like, it might turn out to be, because we don't know. It might turn out to be a good thing, but what if it doesn't? Now, karma's a, you know what? And if you do this to people, when it comes to business, it might get done to you in the end.
The Titans have a very, very mm-hmm. long injury list. What should the Titans' plan be against the Houston Texans, against the Dallas Cowboys, and moving into the final game of the season, the must-win game? Jonathan Hutton joins us to answer that question coming up next. Chase Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.